This morning we'll be continuing in our examination of prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives, and more specifically, the things that God expects us to pray for on a daily basis. The topic this morning is gratitude. Gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise based on an understanding of our dependence upon God. The true reality is that every breath that we have, we should be thankful to God, because it is God who created it, and it is God who created our body so that our body could be sustained by it. And there is nothing in this life, from food to clothing to shelter to technology to every aspect, spiritually and physically, that we are not completely dependent upon God, and that everything we have is by God's grace and God's favor. And so gratitude is actually not a difficult emotion. It's actually a very pleasant one. It makes us feel a sense of appreciation, a sense of praise and adoration. And it's actually a combination of warmth, a joy, of appreciation, and indebtedness. And it isn't just to God that we can feel this way. It can often be created spontaneously in an emergency. I was reading yesterday about someone who stopped and broke the window so they could open the doors because the children had been locked in when the parents got out and the car was on fire. And I thought to myself, I'll bet those parents were so thankful that that man came by when that car burst into flames just a few moments after they got the children out of the car. And that is something that we never forget. And I think we have people in our lives who did that for us. Maybe it was a teacher who sacrificed themselves for us so that we could get back on track. Maybe it was a mentor, a good friend, situation. But it truly strengthens the feelings towards someone, whether that is an individual or, much more importantly, whether it is to God. And the question is, can we generate that in our own mind? We don't really have God intervening in ways that we can see that we would be thankful to Him. We have to create that. Even in a car accident, we may not make the application that God was involved and that I should be thankful to Him that I'm still alive. So some can do it and some can't. We talked about this verse last week, and we focused primarily on the hallowing of God's name. Today we want to talk about being thankful. Because in our prayers, and a prayer, again, it's a barometer, it's a temperature gauge. It tells me how I feel toward God. And if, as I'm asking God for things, I never say please. If I am taking things from God and I never say thank you, then I am at grave risk of becoming futile in my thoughts and my foolish heart being darkened. And if you don't think that's a danger, just look at the culture we live in today. If there's one thing we can say about the American culture, it is that they are not grateful to God, they do not glorify Him as God, and they are not interested in doing His will based on those things. And that means that's a temptation that we all face, because when everyone else is doing something, it becomes evil companionship corrupting the good morals. So as we noted last week in Psalms 103 verses 1 through 5, this is the attitude that Christians ought to have. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This shouldn't even be something that I have to remember when I start my prayer. This should be an outpouring of something that we always have, that our soul is praising God, and all that is within me is blessing His holy name, because we understand our His benefits, our forgiveness, the healings and the health that we have, the redemption from destruction, the loving kindness, the mercy, and the satisfaction that we have with good things should lead, as a direct response. This isn't something, again, brethren, if we're looking at things clearly, This isn't something we have to generate. This is not something that we have to work on. It is a part of our good relationship with the Lord. And I think the Lord's Supper and our songs and often the sermons and the prayers were designed to cement this, as well as the giving. They were all designed to remind us of our dependence on God. And that should lead not to, woe is me, God is expecting too much of me. It should lead to, bless the Lord, O my soul. And not just a small portion of my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Because we can't forget these things. So, we should be thankful. Here's a psalm we didn't look at last week, but we're going to look at it today. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now, is there anything in that passage that we could take issue with? Is there anything in that passage that we would say, I don't know if that's true? And yet, there are people, and some are in the church, who are struggling with this. They are not making any joyful shouts to the Lord. They are not, their service to God is not with gladness. It's with a certain feeling that God expects too much, or it is with a certain feeling that he's holding us back from things that we would like to have. Know that he is God. He has made us. Everything that we possess, and I just can't emphasize that enough, because the more we see that, the easier it is to be glad, to be happy. We live in a blessed time. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of bad things going on, but there is so much good to be thankful for. The medical advances in our country, most of us are living 15, 20 years longer than we would have if we had been born 50 years earlier. We live in a culture where we have things Solomon couldn't even dream of. The wealthiest man who ever lived couldn't touch what we have in our homes today. With the abilities that we have, with the computer, with our television, with the foods that we enjoy. We have foods, access to foods Solomon could have never dreamed of. There is nothing in our lives that we haven't had enhanced. We are blessed above most of the nations of the earth. And again, we can trace a lot of this to medical technology, to scientific technology, to the ability of man to show what it means to take dominion and to be in the image and likeness of God. Yet, God has a warning, and that warning is so important today, because again, most people aren't heeding it, and they are the evil companions that are around us most of the time. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That, brethren, is the culture that we live in today. My power, my might. God is hidden in politics, in the schools, in the courts, and sadly in many churches today. People think that it is their might and their power. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. So here we have a crossroads. Every morning when we get up, we can think that these things are ours, that we earned them, we had the job, we bought them with our money, we enjoy these things because of our might and our power, or we can get up every morning Thankful to God that these things are even here. Thankful to God that we have been born in this time. Thankful to God that everything we enjoy and have is only because of His will. And so there's a warning here. A warning of being thankful and a warning of self-sufficiency and a sense that we deserve everything that we have. So the parameters are really set here. We can't forget all His benefits, because if we say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth, our prayers are going to be stunted. Our prayers are not going to be filled with praise and thanksgiving and adoration, because we don't see the dependency. We don't feel the honor that God has given to us to be blessed like this. If you go through the history of the world, we are living in such a wonderful time of freedom that most cultures and most generations, I mean, you watch some of these old English dramas where they are describing and looking at the poverty of the people and the terrible difficulties of life during that age, which was only a few hundred years ago. And so it's obvious which way America has turned. So the question is, will we follow them, or will we remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth? Your prayers this morning or this last week will give you a pretty good indication of where you are. If it was filled with praise and thanksgiving, with adoration, with appreciation, with a sense of joy and a sense of closeness to God, then we've taken the right direction. If our prayers are sterile, if we are simply asking for things, if we are not hallowing His name and we are not manifesting this bless the Lord, O my soul, and this gratitude and appreciation, then we are at a crossroads. And maybe we've already passed over into the not glorifying as God and not being thankful, and the senseless heart is being darkened. Now, you know where you are. And you know whether you're following that psalm that says, come into His presence with singing and with gladness and with appreciation. It's all a matter of perspective. It's all a matter of thinking. And that's why we train our children to say please and thank you. Because it needs to be expressed to be felt. Otherwise, they don't think it. No one has an obligation to give us anything. They're doing us a favor, and we need to appreciate it. And that's why we say please. And no one has the responsibility or obligation to do anything we ask for, even with a please, and so we say thank you. And that is abundantly true of God. So we don't take things for granted. People appreciate being thanked. It's not happening very much anymore. You do a favor to somebody, hold the door open for them. Very seldom are they going to say thank you, because it's just the new culture. You should do that. Do you know who I am? Everyone should open doors for me and get out of my way. And any act of courtesy is just taken as that's how it should be. And that's some of our coworkers, and that's the people we drive with and that we do commerce with. We don't want to be like that. We want to say thank you. We want to say please, not just to God, but to others. Because we want to feel that sense that we are blessed by what they've done for us, not that's how they should have been. And brethren, God is deeply concerned about this, because gratitude is a critical emotion. Without it, again, I said earlier, without it, our emotions just aren't there. We're just not going to be in it. We may force ourselves to do what God wants us to do, and we may have the faith to be able to maintain that for our whole life. But it won't be the kind of Christian walk that God created and planned for us. It should have been filled with emotions of joy. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Where does this love and joy come from? From God. So He seeks to train us. And the question is, are we listening? There needs to be a sense of indebtedness. I have an obligation to be thankful for all of these wonderful things that I have that I didn't deserve. I didn't earn them. I didn't get them. God made them possible. So he's seeking to protect us from apathy. Apathy is the problem. That's how senseless hearts go dark. They don't care. If you don't appreciate, you stop caring. Whether it's your parents and natural affection, whether it's your children, whether it's your teacher, whether it is the police, if we don't have a sense of gratitude and appreciation for what they're doing for us, we get the kind of culture we have today. And unfortunately, that's where we are. I still appreciate the police. I still appreciate the fact that teachers help me to become what I am. I appreciate the preachers who are doing the work of the Lord. I appreciate the churches. I appreciate God and Christ. Giving thanks always. Now, what part of that command do we not get? And what part of that command are we not fulfilling? Giving thanks always for every meal. When any good thing happens to us, thank you, Father. Appreciate that. In our prayers, for all things, to God the Father. So, again, please and thank you ought to be a part of our prayers. God doesn't have any obligations. Forgive me of my sins. No, Father, please forgive me for my sins. Now, you may be able to leave the word out and still accomplish it. I'm not saying you have to say the word, but the attitude should be there. And sometimes the best way to be sure the attitude is there is by the word please. And thank you. We are not entitled. We have been blessed. We should act like it. The rest of our country has turned its back on God. The rest of our country thinks that we're the greatest people that have ever lived. We're the smartest people that have ever lived. We pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We deserve everything we have. Who needs God? And they forget the most fundamental part of this. And that is that nothing we have is ours. And as devout Christians of all people, we should be giving thanks always. Sincere thanks. Not because something happened yesterday where I could feel the presence of God and feel like he did something for me. Not because yesterday I was on my deathbed and somehow the doctors have healed me. But because I understand Genesis chapter 1. God created the heavens and the earth. And I understand the scheme of redemption. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Our salvation, our material lives, all based on his activities. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, have you thought about what that means? That means that every time you get ready to do something, you've got a scripture, you've got an understanding that the Lord wants me to be doing it this way. He wants me to be doing this, and he wants me to be doing it this way. Whatever you do, in word, every time words come out of your mouth, would the Lord want me to say this? Is this how the Lord, in the name of the Lord, the authority of the Lord, indeed, giving thanks to God the Father through him? Now, I think forcing ourselves to verbalize them is important, just like I think it's important to verbalize our affection to people so that they know it's there, so we know it's there, so we're reminded of it. As much as this has become a part of our culture, selfishness, self-centeredness, narcissism, they even got a new word. We never even heard of this word back in the 70s and even into the 80s, but starting in the 90s and really in the 2000s and 10s, this word has really taken center because it means, basically, nobody else matters but me. And even more, nobody else has feelings or needs but me. And you exist for me. And if you don't fulfill what I expect of you, you should be harmed. You should be punished. And that's such a part of our new generations. What do they call it? The me generation. That's why they call it the me generation. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, again, how much clearer can God make it? I want you to do this. It is my will that you do it. Now, is this just arbitrary? Is it he wants us to thank him because he needs the thanks? No, he wants us to thank him because we need the thanks. Because it keeps our life centered on him, focused on him. In everything, give thanks. So maybe tomorrow, it's a holiday for most of us, so we can't make the excuse I'm too busy. Maybe tomorrow, we ought to get up and just decide, okay, today I want to give God thanks for everything I can think of. And just see how many of the things you're already giving thanks for and how many of the things you need to give thanks for. Again, I didn't write this. I'm not telling you this is what I think. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I don't know how he could make it any clearer. I want you to do this. It's a command. Giving thanks always for all things. Therefore, I don't know if I'm seeing that. Yeah, you can see them both. Okay, good. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer. You get that? Continually offer. The sacrifice of praise to God. You know, one of the things that was interesting about Abraham is every time he got to a new place, the first thing he did is built an altar and offered a sacrifice. Can you imagine the time, how much time it would take to build an altar? Go out to your flock, kill an animal. He did that. Job did it. Every time his children got together, he offered sacrifices for all of them, just in case they might have sinned in their heart. All he's asking us to do is take a few moments to continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's a lot easier to say thank you, Father, than it is to build an altar, go out to your flock, get an animal, bring it, put it to death, and then have to clean it up. Giving thanks to his name. Now, once again, God can't get any clearer. We can ignore it, or we can obey it. To protect ourselves, to give God the glory he deserves. So there's a lot of good reasons to monitor this in our personal prayers. During the time we thank God for our food, it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer, giving thanks to God. So, summarizing what we've seen, giving thanks always for all things, continually offer the fruit of lips, giving thanks, be thankful, giving thanks, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So there's just one simple question. I mean, are we in rebellion to this or are we doing it? This isn't optional. This isn't Alan getting up and saying, you know something, I think today that this is something that's important and I think you ought to do it because I think. No. God said, giving thanks always for all things. Continually offering the fruit of lips, giving thanks. Being thankful, giving thanks. So, are we prepared? And let me rephrase that. Have we done this already? Are we prepared to make this a priority? Is it already a priority? Are we keeping watch over it? You know, I was really disappointed in myself because I went back and looked, and I haven't preached a series on prayer for 6 years. And I thought to myself, you really made a blunder, because this is something that we need to think about. And more than every 6 years, I would say a sermon like this should be preached about every 2 years or maybe every year. Because in our culture, this is being crushed. And it's mocked at and scorned. And yet, it is one of the most fundamental elements that keeps our relationship with God close and warm and fervent and full of a desire to make sacrifices for him. because gratitude changes everything. The songs that we sing, prayers that we pray, our communion with the Lord, our giving and our preaching are all going to be enhanced if you feel gratitude toward God today. These words that I'm reading to you are going to sink deeply into a good and honest heart if we have developed that kind of relationship with God. If we are apathetic and cold and we don't thank God, then these words are just another responsibility the preacher's trying to lay on us. But remember, I didn't lay it. God did. If we want to become more powerful and enjoy, if we want our worship to become more powerful and more enjoyable with gratitude, you've heard people say the same old thing year after year. Two songs, a prayer, a song, Lord's Supper, giving, a song, preaching, a song, we go home, it is just so, how did the children of Israel word it? Oh, what a weariness. And you sneer and scoff at it. And yet, from the time of the giving of the law until the time Jesus died on the cross, that was their worship. Sacrifices morning and evening, the offering of incense morning and evening, the table of showbread once a week, the lighting of the lamps. Oh, what a weariness. Can't we shake it up? Can't we do something? Well, that's what the denominations have done. You know why they've done it? Because they're not thankful. If they were thankful, they wouldn't need to do that. If they were thankful, they wouldn't dare to do it because they would respect God and they would respect and honor Him. And that's all we need to do, and that's what we need to understand. These two songs and a prayer and a song and the Lord's Supper and giving are commands of God. We have to do them. Now, we could have five songs and two prayers. We can shake it up like that. We can have less preaching and more time with the Lord's Supper. I mean, these are things that congregations could decide upon. But without gratitude, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. One by one, the denominations are succumbing to this problem. And they're having to find better and stronger ways to keep the people happy. Because as we're seeing from statistics, you've seen that pie chart, and you've seen where Christianity was, and you're seeing it's getting smaller and smaller, while the atheists are getting larger and larger, and the agnostics are getting larger and larger, because that's what happened. Back in the 60s and 70s, they weren't honoring Him as God. They were just doing whatever they wanted to do. And now we're reaping the whirlwind. So the question then is, are we thankful? How do we create this kind of gratitude tomorrow morning? Well, there's spontaneous gratitude. Birth of a child. Greatly blessed. Health after illness. Answered prayer. Escape from death. I don't think salvation of sin should be there. I think that should be in the next list, because that's something we have to generate. But I guess if you consider the Ethiopian eunuch, the initial first time, we should be rejoicing. And I think we were. This was spontaneous gratitude. How do you control it? You got this beautiful child, healthy child in your hand, whether it's a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild. But then there's planned gratitude based on dependence on God. Based on the realization that God is the first cause. Nothing that exists today would be here without Him. We can take it for granted or we can be grateful. We can be grateful, which will lead to greater service, or we can take it for granted, which leads us to feel that God can just get the crumbs. All you need to give God the crumbs. It affects your giving. It affects the Lord's Supper because you can't seem to focus on it. You don't really appreciate it. So it's just a rote. First they put Him on the cross, then they nailed Him to the cross, then He died, they put a spear in Him, they buried Him. For some people, that's the Lord's Supper. They just think about a crucifixion scene week after week after week. But those who have grown beyond that, they appreciate Jesus. They know that the God who was with God, equal to God, dwelling on an equality with God, emptied himself, came to this earth, took on a human body, lived perfectly, and then what's the reward for living perfectly, which no other man had ever been able to do? He was hung on a cross. That's what I remember. I remember, and it creates this awe and reverence and gratitude. It's easy. How is such gratitude created? Well, it's planned. It's an outgrowth of what we've done every day of the week, and when we come here, that's what we see. It's a barometer. It's a temperature gauge. Are you sick? Well, if you're not doing these things, you are. Then we have what I would call sharing moments. We enjoy it more if we share it. Have you ever noticed that if something beautiful is off to the side, who's ever with you? Oh, look at that. Well, why? I see it. Why should I care what they see? It's fun to share. It's fun for all of us to ooh and awe. The serenity and awe at the ocean, mountains, or a sunset. Do we share them with God? You know, I like to share them with Jeannie. I like to share them with my kids. If you were with me, I would share them with you. When I'm with you, you like to share them with me. We all do that. But a lot of times, people don't share it with God. You're missing out on amazing opportunities to draw near to God. The serenity and awe at the ocean should call forth our highest praise to God. It's a spontaneous moment. It's an opportunity to show God your faith, your dependence, and your gratitude. At the mountains, in a sunset, the scent. This time of the year gives us abundant opportunities to be grateful, to be thankful, and to awe, and reverence, and hallowing. The exhilaration of a challenge. And God's just asking us to share them with him. Is that too much to ask? You know, I got a question. We very first couple of years I was preaching, the congregation there wanted to have a suggestion box. And one day the suggestion was, why did God make man? And I thought about it, and he doesn't need us. So he didn't make man because there's something we need. Matter of fact, he created everything that we do, but he doesn't need any of it. You remember in, I can't remember, one of the Psalms, it says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. And heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What kind of a house can you build for me? I can't fit in your house. I don't need your house. You need the house. Why did God make man? Because he wanted someone to love, and he wanted someone to love him. I mean, you might as well ask, why do people have kids? They're just a pain, aren't they? Bring them home, they cry, their diaper stinks. I mean, I could go into it, I think all of us are aware of it. Well, that's not why we had kids. We had kids because we wanted someone to love. And we wanted someone to love us. And it's worked out real well for most of us. And it has for God, although more limited because the love he was expecting was short-lived indeed. Adam and Eve, and then Cain, leaving the presence of Jehovah and never looking back until the earth was filled with violence and every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart, and it grieved God, and he repented or regretted that he made man. So are we thankful? Well, we accept the gifts but stop short of praise and thanksgiving, which is why he made us. We're cheating him out of the one thing we can give him, because everything else is his. My soul is his. My body. This world. It's all his. I'm living on borrowed time. I'm just a steward over things that belong to God. My emotions, my wife, my children, my possessions, my victories, my challenges that I've conquered, all of that is a gift. And it's pretty easy when you think of it that way to be thankful to God. But if we stop short of praise and thanksgiving, we're cheating him. and we're putting ourselves at grave risk. Remember what he told Israel, when you get all of these things and you say, my might and my power, you slap yourself and you say, wait a minute, it's God who gave me the power and the might and the opportunities. And not only do we cheat God, but we cheat ourselves out of the joy and warmth that it brings. So during these quiet moments of sincere praise, I think that's when we learn true reverence and respect and awe that we bring here on the first day of the week. I don't think we can learn it here. I never learned it here. I didn't learn it by the songs or by the preacher. I learned it by personal example, personal experience of being alone in the mountains and raising my voice to God in praise and adoration, and then that sticks with you. Or the time you nearly get killed and you think about God. And you thank him. And you don't forget. And that's where these things, that's where they come from. So we're going to end the sermon the way we started it. Make a joyful sound to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is not by our will. This is by a natural response to certain activities that God has commanded and that we owe him as his creatures. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. Evolution is a lie. We didn't make ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. And we are proof of that, because this was written how many hundreds of generations ago? And yet here we are. And it won't end here. And so, brethren, as we conclude our lesson, I hope that this will give us an opportunity take our temperature, or to check our barometer. Are we going into storms, or are we got smooth sailing? Is it going to be bright and sunny? Are we sick? Are we healthy? Are we 98.6? If we're not, adjustments need to be made, brethren, and that's why sermons like this are so important, because they give us a chance to make some assessments and to say to ourselves, you know, I heard a sermon similar to this 6 years ago. And it really helped, or it didn't help, or it hadn't changed anything. Or I've been like this since I was first become a Christian, and I don't even need a sermon like this. I'd be great. But if there's anyone in the audience today who did need this sermon, you need to make some serious changes. You need to repent. You need to confess to God and tell him you're sorry, and you haven't fulfilled his commands to be as thankful as you ought to be. And then make some decisions about change of life, bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. We're going to sing the song of encouragement here. And as we do so, I hope that everyone here who has any kind of a need to be baptized today or to make their life right with God, you give us an opportunity to help you while we sit and sing the song.